this two times in a row now. It's Halloween. We got to do. Come on now. You got to get the music right here. This giant $500 million network, and they keep. That got a laugh from the studio folks. Trust me. It's a $750 million network. All right. Well, we got to have some Halloween music here. Here, let's try this. Two times in a row now. All right. This will do it. Here he comes. They get some WD-40.
It's so easy to dismiss as ridiculous nonsense the idea of a haunted house. After all, who in their right mind believes in ghosts?
Huh, not me.
The thing is, what has happened when several people in the same place and at the same time claim to have had the same strange experience?
Hey, he's got a point.
Is it all a big hoax? Are they barking mad?
Well,
I don't think so.
I don't either. Well, welcome back. It is time for our second Halloween program of the month of October. In fact, that's the best month to have Halloween programs. It's the 28th of the 10th month of the year 2005, and we are rapidly moving toward Halloween itself, which in 3 days, next Monday, we'll be live then, of course, with Brad Steiger, our third time this month together. Together again for the first time, three times. In 1 month. I think we've done that before, though, actually. Let's trundle out to Forest City and find out if he's there. Is he there?
Good evening, Jeff. I have been anticipating this evening for weeks, and I'm not barking mad.
Sounds like strep throat to me.
I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there.
You're so almost there.
So how are you?
I've been better. I've been worse.
Been better?
No, listen. It does no good to complain. I'm fine. I'm on top of the world.
Great.
Where else would I be? Don't answer that.
Well, we have a lot of excitement tonight.
Hey, this is going to be another splendid evening to get away from all the crapola they call world geopolitics. Do something significant and meaningful tonight. I mean, this is Halloween.
This is Halloween.
I hope all of you have your pumpkins. I went into the bank the other day. Fruitless exercise that was. I went in there anyway, and all the little tellers had their little personal Halloweens done. Halloween pumpkins done. Very cute.
Yeah.
Most of them had pumpkins. Anyway, my teller, my personal banker, he always takes very good care of me.
Wonderful.
I'm called a high-maintenance customer because I'm so stupid. I don't know how to... Listen, here's the secret now. This is between you and me. How many times have I balanced a checkbook in my life?
I don't know. I would guess you do it every month.
How many times? All right. I'll give you a hint. What is less than one?
Uh-oh.
No, wait. It's all right. I have a system. It works.
Okay, I would think you would have.
This nice, beautiful young lady. I just walk in. Of course, that has no reason. Nothing to do with why I... Never mind. I'd pick any bank. It doesn't matter who's behind the window.
Of course.
It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I go in there with my checkbooks, and I have a few odds and ends, and I hand them to her, and she totals them up, and she gives me a little printout and tells me how much I have in my account. I call that balancing it.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. The only problem is there are always checks in the pipeline, which haven't shown up yet. What are we talking about money for? I told everyone we get away from that financial geopolitical stuff. Here we are talking high finance.
Well, It wasn't really too high finance, I don't think. I mean, unless you've just struck oil on your vast estate.
Right. It's extra virgin olive oil in the kitchen. That's it. Anyway,
that's the only kind to buy.
I'm a high maintenance customer. But they indulged me. The point of all this was she did something very cute with a pumpkin.
There we're coming to the point.
I knew there was something there. She had a pumpkin, and the stem was broken off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this gal is clever. She flipped it upside down, spray painted it pink with glossy, nice, high sheen. Cute. Pink pig, or pig pink. And then she put two little eyes on it, and made a round pig nose and two little pink pig ears. You had to see it, folks. It was good. It was very cute.
I'm getting a wonderful visual picture.
I'll bet you are.
As you describe it so vividly.
Thank you. Well, okay. We have some special guests coming up later tonight, and don't miss Dave and DNS are back. Brad and I were here last time, and I told him about the wonderful EVP that I told him about the EVPs that we were going to... I'm just doing this for fun. See, honest, Dave and Sharon listening now, they're saying, what's wrong with him? They paid, $3,000 to rent an estate so they could be on the phone tonight, not in their RV, and I'm... Anyway, Dave and Sharon were here last time, and they played some wonderful EVPs, and...
Mm-hmm.
They're going to reprise one of them tonight.
Oh, let's hope so.
And they have, you hope so. We got to talk about that one too. There's something going on there which we'll touch on later.
Sherry agrees with us.
Listen, no doubt. Gordon Melton is coming on as well. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Gordon. He'll be on in about 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, Gordon is a respected writer of theological subjects. He's written several very weighty, learned, scholarly volumes on American religion and kind of both the mainstream and the orthodox. And he's regarded as a serious scholar of religion, but we know him as the vampire hunter.
Yeah.
He's written three books about vampires.
Right. I want to ask him about his phone number too. He has a phone number. I'm from Santa Barbara, as you know. And the phone number, at least it used to be, is a UC Santa Barbara exchange. And I want to know if he's on campus or something. That's strange. He's got a 961 number, and that's UC Santa Barbara.
I told you he was scholarly.
Well, he is. He's probably there and
Institute for American Religion.
Looking at all his college degrees on the wall,
mm-hmm.
Sitting in his office.
Probably polishing them right now.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Blowing on them, and then taking his arm.
Trying to take his picture in the mirror with him.
Right.
Holding the camera. It's hard to do that.
But, he doesn't show up in the mirror. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, it could be the case. Mm-hmm. He's a hunter, though, not...
No, he's a scholar of... the vampire, and a paranormal. Gordon I've known for many years, way back in the 60s. We're at the point now where we say we're not getting older, we're getting better. But I met him first when we were prowling around doing investigations in Chicago way back in the 60s, and we've kept in touch ever since. And he's a man whose erudition and expertise I very much respect.
Prowling around doing investigations?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Peeping Tom work?
Oh, no. This was all very, very upright. And
I see. Well, kids can be kids. You never know.
Yeah.
Don't know that. All these stories pop into my head. I can't tell them.
But you're getting, we're reaching Halloween, and you're just, it's hard for you to retain control.
True.
You're normally, of course, so disciplined and professional and self-controlled. But, with Halloween, you just kind of, that kind of crumbles.
Does it? I just disintegrate. Shambles. Now, we have been running some two contests. Some wonderful things have come in. And I think if you want, we can maybe, when do you want to name the winner of the splash art contest?
Well,
I don't either.
Should we milk it a bit, or?
I think what we should do, though, is go to a break.
Okay.
All right. We're going to go to a break, and we'll come right back. And lots of fun ahead. Glad you're along with us. We do our second Halloween program of the month, our second annual Halloween Splash Art Contest. We're going to name the winners tonight. And then on Halloween, we're going to name the winners of the True Ghost Story Contest, when Lady Sherry will join us as we all three take turns reading the winners and other good ones. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Back. I think we'll hold off and name the winners a little later.
Well, we could name the honorable mention, though.
Are they all on one page?
Okay.
Let me see here. Hold on. Now. Wait a minute.
Well,
I think, see, they're not where they're supposed to be yet. Let me see if I can find this. Name that tune, folks. You all know what it is.
Everyone knows that. It is. I think it's probably the best Halloween movie theme, or horror movie theme.
You do?
I do.
Huh.
I think that is that. In, of course, Tubular Bells was not written for The Exorcist, but
right.
That certainly is immediately identifiable.
It was written for Perry Como, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
Well,
immediately identifiable. This is immediately identifiable and creates an entire mind scene. Now, I'm sure you've heard the story about this, that Carpenter had just done a film. He had done Halloween, and he showed it to a group of people, and they just said, so-so. Then he sat down, because he's also a musician, and wrote this theme. And everyone,
I hadn't heard. Fascinating. And that did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
He'd done it without, you know, because, and people say, well, you know, it's all right. It's nothing special. Then he put the theme to it, and bang, it just took off. As I say, I think it's one of the very best. I can't think of any offhand that outside of The Exorcist that are immediately identifiable. And immediately create images.
It does that. All right, here's what we want to do. Go to the top of rents.com, please, where it says Jeff and Brad's second annual Halloween Splash Art Contest. Click on that, and what we're going to do, all the splash art entries are complete now, so let's take a look. Let's kind of walk down there together and look at these. I haven't been able to get over there as often as I'd like, tell you the truth. And there are some good ones, just like
there.
We had last year.
Excellent.
Bunch of them.
Hard to choose.
Some of them we're going to be using in the weeks to come. They're not, they don't date. And each one you can click on, of course, and bring it up full screen. And if you want to look at the first one, you're online with us now?
Am I?
Yeah, you.
Oh, yes.
The first one on the upper left is, I can't remember where was that monster from? I've seen these before.
It conquered the world.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
No wonder it didn't succeed.
No, it was kind of a grim monster.
Yeah, that is a little grim. Limited mobility.
Limited mobility, but man, look at those teeth.
Yeah, definitely that. And thank you, Charles, for that. Congratulations. Good job. On the upper right, the Iraqi horror Picture Show.
Clever.
Very clever.
And, you know, I don't think any of us knew W had GAMs like that.
Well, pretty grim GAMs. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll scream, you'll die. Nostradamus. Not sure that's a literal translation or not. Held over for another 4 grueling years. Well done. Good job from Unknown. Thank you, Mr. Unknown.
Very good.
Okay, Graveyard John. That's the second one on the left. Now this one, that's 3D art, I guess.
Spooky.
It definitely.
Spooky.
Talk about atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's
faces in the back, it appears to me, just kind of forming ethereally in the darkness.
Yeah, it's dripping with ambiance, as they say.
It reminds me of the old Vault of Horror and Crypt of Terror comic books from EC when I was a kid.
I've seen some of those still around. Are they just, I guess, a reproduction?
They're reproductions, yeah.
Yeah. All right, and then number 4 from Normand Paré. Now, this is an excellent one.
Night of the Drowning Dead.
Man. If you can't see this, I can't describe it, so don't ask me to. It has to do with
it's excellent.
Hurricane Katrina, a victim impaled upon an iron post or something, and a raven in the background. It's very good. Excellent.
And you can see someone's image very faintly off to the side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the voice, the person that's drowned and turning blue, is saying, W.
Sure is.
Excellent. And the use of color is very good, that green color.
Very eerie. It's a modified Martian lime.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Perfect.
All right. The next one is Freaks from Pauli. Pauli? Paulie? His last name is Walnuts.
Maybe.
All right. And maybe not. So we click on that one and we pull up a full screen. The Freaks Come Out at Night, Dracula the Phantom, and George W. Bush is featured in Mummy Guard as the dummy.
Well, I think that's Condi as Dracula.
It certainly is, and she doesn't need makeup.
And Cheney as the Phantom.
I was getting there, but she,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No.
Step on your lines.
Very clever. And did you see that little brouhaha about USA Today allegedly messing with Condi's eyes? Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
Oh, they said she made her face satanic and evil.
Oh, really?
And all they did was whiten the bloodshot eyeballs around her irises.
Well, that's not fair.
And there's a big flap about it, silly stuff. Anyway, this is a good one. Yes, Dick Cheney, they're all there, all 3 of them. The Freaks Come Out at Night. Well done by Pauli. Thank you, Pauli. We'll take a break, come right back, and look at the rest of the splash art entries in just a moment.
From the Crypt.
Is exactly. All right. Do you think Monday all these kids are going to be out?
Mm-hmm.
The fun part is that when you run across houses that, you know, they have nice music. Good, they pick out some good music and they decorate it. It's kind of neat. You can hear it half a block away. All you folks who go out trick-or-treating with the kids, please have a fun time. The years go by so fast. Enjoy every moment of it. Take the camera. And, you know, if you're really into parenting, you'll have more fun than the kids. It's great. Okay, back to the splash art. Go to the top of rents.com. Click on the winners are all in the splash art contest. And we're looking at number 6 on the right side.
The White House Horror.
Pauly Struck Twice.
Pauly Struck Twice.
All right.
This is a good one. Very clever. Very nice.
Yeah. All right. So that's the front of the Amityville looking kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the White House Horror starring the usual, the big three. Bush says he was possessed. Defense calls W a nuclear killer. Actually, they call him a nuclear killer.
Right.
In any case. Good. All right. Thank you, Pauly, for that. Next, on the left, number 7 is The Omen.
That's cute.
It is cute. And click on these, pull it up full screen. The chilling true legacy behind George W. Bush's...
Eeriest.
I can't see it. All right. Eeriest and most diabolical plan for world domination. Yeah, there's little George and the little boy out there. You know what, that guy's... you know when he's gone, the people who do a lot of satire and parody are going to be hard-pressed to fill that void. Seriously. Okay, the next on the right, and that's from Elijah Jones. Thank you, Elijah. The successor on the right from Steve...
Excellent.
Is superb. We used it already as a splash on rents.com, and it's classy. Well done. Good image, good vision, very good art, indeed, and maybe not so far off the mark. All right. The next one shows the Marine helicopter, and Bush is, I guess he's getting in. And he says a little thought bubble. He says, "I ain't afraid of no ghost." And he's waving goodbye. He's going to go in. And inside, of course, is a gray and someone with a large orange head and the usual cast of characters.
And it's Frankenstein monster.
The monster's there, and it's good. The Dixie Chicks?
No, I think that's it. Well, maybe I thought it was his daughters, but I bet it's the Dixie Chicks.
No, those are the Dixie Chicks.
Okay.
The last
then it's funnier than I thought, yeah.
Yeah. The last two virgins east of the Mississippi.
Okay.
All right. That's good. And that's very good. And I can't pronounce the man's name, but it's HUANONHU. Thank you, sir. Or madam. Excellent work. Okay, next up on the left side. As we walk through the splash art submissions, The Devil's Rejects, written and directed by Carl Rove. And they're the big three again. She doesn't look any better as a blonde, sorry. Ebert and Roper give it one middle finger up. And worth every bit of it. From Smokescreen Entertainment. Clever.
Clever.
Very good. All right, on the right.
That's another one from Pauly.
Pauly, geez, Pauly. Get a life, buddy.
Yeah.
But thank you. No, it's three.
He's
that's
good.
Right.
He's good.
I missed that. All right.
Or she. I guess Pauly could be.
Could be. Pauline, Paulette. Just plain Pauly.
Right.
On the right is a splendid piece of art from
beautiful.
Stephen Lund.
Eerily beautiful.
This one is... this is going to be around for a while, this one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't describe it. You'll have to see it. Great-looking trees in the background.
Really this nice. Is one you really do have to see.
Yeah.
Very subtle, very nuanced, very intricately balanced.
Very well done. Okay, next, God's Wrath from Dave Harp. Thank you, Dave, for sending that in. It's a pretty grim picture.
Pretty grim picture. Wow, zombies, ghoul, and endless war. Happy Halloween.
I will deliver God's wrath, promises the
grotesque,
distortedly grotesque commander-in-chief. All right, thank you, Dave. Scott Haas has sent us one on the right, Candyman.
I got a kick out of this one. We dare you to say his name five times.
It's cute.
Of course, you have to know the Candyman urban legend to go with that.
All right, go ahead and tell us.
Well, again, it's like the Bloody Mary. You stand in front of a mirror, and if you say, Candyman, Candyman, and he appears. Mm-hmm. And that's when your friends who are standing outside the bathroom where you're looking in the mirror pound on the door and give you a mild seizure. From the macabre mind of Karl Rove, and again, starring the usual suspects. A Scooter Libby presentation, which is kind of topical today.
Portentous. War of the Worlds next up from Amazon Buzzy. Thank you, Amazon. Well done. It's got the Martian three-fingered hand holding a round, well, calling the strangely shaped head of George W. Bush. It's not round. It's not pear-shaped. It's bizarre. All right, and Diablo on the right from Gustavo, Gothic.
Very nice.
Gothic style. Very well done. You have to see this one. I can't describe it. Excellent work. I think Gustavo is probably an artist.
Yeah, probably a sculptor.
DU from Knucklehead on the left. Again, you need to see that for yourself. Pentagon Vision. Music by the Cruise Missiles, D.U. The Movie, indeed. On the right side, Trick or Treat America from ZombiePop.com. Cute stuff, but pretty grim subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, just a few more to go. When we come back, we'll do that as we move along with our second Halloween program of the month. Rent it someday. Fat chance.
Okay. With all your spare moments.
That's right. All my just amazing how much time I have. All right, back to our Splash Art contestants. A little racy one here. All right, that's next. Adjutores Veritatis.
Veritatis.
Did I do that right?
Yeah.
You see, I studied French.
Yeah. Adjutores Veritatis.
Or was it Greek?
I would say keep going, Keep going.
All right. Okay, and that's from Russ and Bob. It's a flash animation. Of course, with my wind-up computer, I can't see it all.
Oh.
I'm going to get a new one, I promise.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
I've got a wind-up computer.
It is superb.
Yeah, I know. This one is something that you have to look at and just be prepared to be kind of dumbstruck with it. It's that amazing. That's all we're going to say right now. Okay, on the right side, a little T and A, or is that A and T? Night Stalkers. Mm. Well, what is it?
It's discreetly, discreetly posed. There's no T and A there.
Well, what are those things?
Well, I'm going to have to blow it up. I don't see it. I don't see what you're talking about.
Night Stalkers?
Come on, that's discreetly posed. The large black panther there.
What Black Panther? I got a different version.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, that explains that.
I got the incomplete version.
Oh, I see. I see. Well, on the complete version, there's a leopard, a black leopard, Black Panther.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah.
All right.
And then I even hesitate to ask what you see the gray doing there.
Never mind.
Anyway, it's very evocative. Very evocative.
It certainly is. Certainly is. All right, that's enough of that.
That's from Johnny R.
Wait a minute. We're going from the frying pan to the fryer with the next one.
Oh, yeah.
Now this one, Liberty or Death. I'm not quite sure of the connection here, but it is this, apparently the Statue of Liberty.
Yes.
See, W's nails are a little long there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's Nosferatu.
It is, certainly. Well, that's another interesting one, folks.
It certainly is.
We had a raft of them this year. That one is from Amazon Buzzy again, and Johnny R. from Night Stalkers. And thank you, Johnny, for sending me the incomplete image.
Yeah, you got the R-rated version, I guess, or the X-rated you got.
Well, never mind.
I got the R.
Never mind. All right. No, I won't send you mine. The next one is Flu Terrorist from Gates.
Very provocative.
Now, these things are good.
Mm-hmm.
They're good.
Excellent.
Very good. Take a look at that one. There's a cute pumpkin. I saw one of those last year somewhere. I forget where it was, but it was very clever. It's a pumpkin.
I think I sent it to you.
I think you may have. I don't know who else would, but all right. Now, the next one is a clever little pun. House from Bill Oliver. Thank you, Bill. House of Wax.
Right.
That's W-A-C-K-S. House of Wax.
Right. You kind of have to say it before you get it there.
Yeah, exactly. House of Wax, like wackos. And the next up, Reality from Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Pretty grim reality.
Yeah, kind of 30s black and white nuance to it. Good. And the last two, now this is a real good flu shots. That's good. We're going to use that.
Yeah, that's takeoff on, what is it, pin?
I can't remember, but...
Not pinhead, but...
One of them. Very clever.
Yeah.
Very good. We're going to probably use it on the homepage at some point. That's a political statement that can go and go and go. And then from Carl D., and that's from Amazon Buzzy also, flu shots. Brat Boy Eats the World from Carl D. Miller. Now, Carl marches to a different drummer. Ain't no doubt about it. Carl, I wish you the best. And you do have some talent.
Yes.
And you are unique. Keep at it. And I'd like to see what you do next year.
Yes. They're wonderful again this year.
They are. They're just superb. And what we're going to do in short order is a little later we're going to name the winner. So stay tuned for that. Okay, let's bring on our first guest now. If you would, introduce the vampire expert.
Oh, if I say all those good things about him that I was saying earlier, he'll get such a big head. Let's just say that he's a recognized and respected scholar. of theology in the American religious scene. He's written numerous books on both the conventional religions, mainstream religions, and some of the kind of what we call alternative or offbeat religions. And we know him tonight as a man who has written three books on vampires. Now, I've known Gordon for many years, way back in the 60s, and he's always had a scholarly appearance about him, but he never fooled me at all. I knew he was a little bit weird. It didn't surprise me that he'd write about vampires. Are you there, Gordon?
I am here.
I said earlier that you're an old friend that we say now you're not getting older, you're getting better. We've known each other that long.
Well, I use the variation as I have to grow older, but I don't have to grow up.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's a good one, and there's another one. You got to be brave to grow old.
Oh yeah, yeah. Growing old isn't for sissies.
Isn't for cowards and sissies.
Right.
Something like that. But there's no such thing as old.
No.
Not at all.
No.
That. And Gordon, I think I deciphered your other phone number. I didn't give the full number out, but that is, without question, a UC Santa Barbara exchange. Your 961 number, isn't it?
It's pretty close.
What do you mean close? Oh, you're on the. Oh, you're out on Stork Road.
I'm in Isla Vista.
How'd you get a 961 in Isla Vista?
Phone company gave it to me.
You're kidding me. You mean they're actually giving them out to regular residents in IV now?
It must be.
There's nothing regular about Gordon.
No, well, nothing regular about Isla Vista either. I lived there for 9 years, Gordon.
Yeah.
Right. What do you mean, yeah?
Well, you know what it's like right now. They're in the process of shutting down the campus at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. But that Halloween thing has gotten to be too big. I lived right on Del Playa for 9 years and had the ocean in my backyard and surfed every day. Were waves, and just kind of took my time. Went through school, and
that's kind of what Gordon does every day too. Goes out and surfs every day, right, Gordon?
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Back then, Gordon, I'll give you another little tip. The beach used to be covered with beautiful sand. Huge beach. It's gone.
Yeah.
It washed away, eroded. So, when did you first become interested in this whole vampire thing? Was it as a child looking at films?
It was as a teenager. To tell my age, I was I was one of those who saw the Hammer movies in the theaters originally.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Hammer movies that got me hooked.
They used to crank those things out one a month, practically.
They were doing them pretty close to that.
Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee. Go ahead.
But they played them straight. That's the thing about the Hammer films, and that's the thing about probably British horror films in toto, is that you have fine actors, and there's none of this that, you know, the camp. You don't feel you're really watching a Rocky Horror Picture Show and everyone's kind of tongue-in-cheek, wink-wink. When Peter Cushing says, you know, he's going to create a living person out of body parts, I mean, you believe him. I mean, you know he's going to do it. And when Christopher Lee says, you know, he's Dracula, you know he is.
You're right on, and that was one of the things that made those movies, Peter Cushing especially, get in the worst parts in the world, and he always played it straight.
Exactly. There's no need to camp it. That's what people forget when they are making films. I think, well, part of the problem is in the U.S. we have too many young directors now who don't know the literature. They know films, so they're basing film on film. The earlier directors had a literary background, and most of those in Britain have a literary background. So there's more depth. They know what they're talking about. The conventions that in literature were somehow strategically metaphored into film so skillfully, you know, you don't do that unless you know what the literary references are.
Yeah, and if you only use the film, then you run out of storylines pretty quickly.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, and we will exactly take a short break at the top of the hour, come right back with Gordon Melton, find out some more about his study of vampires over the years as our Halloween program continues in just a few minutes. Don't go away.